We begin in the name of the transcendent Father, the omnipresent Son, and the immanent indwelling Spirit. Enliven within us your presence and action. Amen. Jesus said to his disciples, "Stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Jesus said to his disciples, "Stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared. For at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Jesus said to his disciples, "Stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared. For at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." This is the good news. O God, when I found your words, I devoured them. I took them in and combined with them, and they became the happiness and the joy of my heart. Amen. Would anyone like to share what they heard? Please, Tamara.
I heard, "Stay awake, you don't know the hour." For some reason, my mind put those two together. And I just started thinking about self-remembering. And in the moment of self-remembering, the past is like unimportant at all. And all those ideas I have for the future about time are also irrelevant. It's not about that at all. That there's plenty of time and I have no control over it. Mm-hmm. It's not about, you know, the hour, the day. It's about right now and staying awake.
Thank you. Please, Martin.
I heard, "Do not expect," which I challenged myself to move that into expect. And expect, to me, is, especially with the homework this week, is a great way to just go right down the ray. Mm-hmm. You know, I expect this person to say this. I expect this politician to do this. I expect an apology. Ah!
Yeah.
So there's the rules. There's the lies to myself. If I want all those rules, let's just pack up to the moon. Agree?
Yeah. Thank you. Yes, please. Lotus in front.
I think everybody who's spoken, because you're reminding me, what I heard is be prepared. And when I was asking if there was more and how to interpret that, I was hearing listen. And it's about not being in the past or the future. And I've just a few minutes ago been very angry about being reminded I'm not in control.
So yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Jill.
I heard page 10. This work is the most beautiful thing you can imagine, and it accuses you of nothing except being asleep. And just the call to wake up, not as something, as a, you know, you need to do this, but as a, my God, you've got everything and you're missing it, woman, wake up.
Right.
Just
right.
Be here.
Yes. Yes, and related to that, I heard that the Son of Man will come. The Son of Man will come. Doesn't matter whether we're awake or asleep, the Son of Man will come, and in fact has come, is here now. It doesn't matter what we do or don't do, but it does change our experience if we're awake to that truth. Please, Anna, over here.
I heard I can work, I can make effort, but I cannot do. I heard that the spirit, like the wind, will come. The transforming grace will come. But in the meantime, all I can do is work and make effort.
Amen. I heard real aim. I heard the invitation to real aim in the call to stay awake. And there's real aim in orienting my life to the truth, to reality. And then there is the practice of staying awake, which is, as Anna mentioned, in mysterious alchemy of effort and grace. Anything else? Okay, thank you. Shall we do something about the do you think? Did you leave it on? Spirit. Sounds better. Okay, thank you. That was just a little thing, wasn't it? An announcement about Second Line. This is the final opportunity to sign up. And if you still want to sign up, what is currently available is a Wednesday group from 10:30 to 11:50 a.m. and another Wednesday group from 4:30 to 5:50 p.m. So that's what's available, and this is the final invitation. Last week we read a commentary about the ray of creation and the different orders of laws in the ray of creation, the laws that we are under and influenced by as we go up and down in our level of being. And the experiment or the invitation was to remember yourself in the ray. Which could include visualizing oneself in the ray or any means of bringing the reality of levels and influences into our ordinary consciousness. Does anyone want to share anything? What did you see? What did you experience? Alan, thank you.
I kind of get the experience that the three-story house itself is a ray. My body is very, very, very dense. When I had my operation on my neck, I wasn't doing sits. I wasn't reading. I wasn't doing anything. It was taking all the energy and all the awareness. And then my emotional center is less dense.
Is what?
Less dense. Mm-hmm. And then mental center is least dense of all. I'm not sure which makes any of them higher or lower, but I do sense that there's a certain density or a lack of density with regard to the three-story house, which is an internal ray.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Jill, please.
Well, I was out of town last week, and I didn't listen to the CD until a couple of days ago. But it was one of those where it was absolutely with me. And there's been a center of gravity question that's been with me for a good while. That's why am I here? And just bringing that, it seems like wherever I am, that question is there, why am I here? And it can be the most mundane, ordinary thing, but that question turns it into an exercise of I can be in the ray right here. Yeah. Yesterday I was cleaning the turtle tank, and it was a very slimy, gross job, and I asked, that question, why am I here? And it just gave me the opportunity to connect, and I had read a commentary about man's purpose in the organic film of life that is to serve as a transmitting force and a receptive apparatus, and you had said something about consenting is a big piece of it, and I realize I consent to a lot of things that mostly that I want to do, that I'm attracted to, but can I just consent to cleaning the turtle tank and just be there? And when I wondered about that, I realize that I'm part of organic life. Organic life is also a transmitting force. And I connected with that idea, and it seemed like a neutralizing force is love. Honestly, yes. I love this turtle. It's crazy, but I love my turtle and the fish. And, you know, and when I connected with that, then there was more intention in being in something that was just kind of a gross job.
Yeah, yeah.
And I noticed at the meeting I was at, there were moments. There was also the word sincerity was a key in that commentary. Sincerity about yourself. And I heard a keynote speaker that really touched me, and I was very moved. And I was both hopeful and helpless. It was a strange combination of feeling. And I knew somebody at the meeting, and just immediately afterwards went up and connected with this person. And it was so interesting to... It was sensing something. I was reading her eyes. I was asking that question, really, why are we here? And what is this all about? And it was more internal. It was more sensing than it was with words. Mm-hmm. And I saw her come alive too. And I guess that was really the sense of when I'm connected. Connected in the ray is alive, and it's sensing from something deeper.
Yes.
And it feels very three-centered, but it's not thinking about the ray. It's not emoting about the ray. It's just sensing a presence and a verticality and an aliveness.
Yes, yes. Yes, you actually helped put words on my experience with the exercise, because for me it was, there was often a visualization, and there was a sensation that came with that visualization of really rooting me up as well as connecting me up and rooting me down at the same time. And the horizontal continued, whatever I was doing, cleaning the kitchen, but there was a sensation of levels manifesting in the ordinary. And so that carries with it a sense of scale. And not that it made the ordinary any more special, it just was, but there was a different awareness, I guess, an expansion of awareness. And that's self-remembering. In all three centers. Lotus, please.
I've, with playing with that, and even doing it right this moment,
right. Yeah.
As you were saying, it's as if I am willing to open up and feel God's presence inside me, as well as connecting with
yes.
all that is around me. And it is about being here right now. And it feels like it's predominantly from my heart chakra, but I know it's my whole body.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care about those other things anymore.
What things?
So thank you.
Thank you. Well, good for you to keep moving. Feel it and keep moving into the next moment and the next moment and saying yes. Greta?
There was an event that was very anxiety provoking for me. Mm-hmm. And then I had to make a purchase, which was also very anxiety provoking for me. And I basically did it from a worldly place and from the intellectual center, researching what I had to purchase, what people said, what reviewers said, seeing if anyone was selling these things, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And finally I decided to look at a purchase, and I was anxious going there, and I was anxious in there, and I wouldn't even touch what I purported to purchase for an hour. And the person who was working with me was very centered. Mm-hmm. And at one point I said, I apologized a number of times for being so anxious. I mean, I was picking my nails and looking onto the floor and not listening and listening, and I just couldn't get there until this person said that perhaps it would be good to ground. Mm-hmm. And that in the scheme of things, this purchase and this event were very small. And it reminded me of Houston and 30 or 40,000 families out of out of their homes and with no place to stay and their belongings completely waterlogged and mildewed. And yes, indeed, it brought me back to a higher place, a higher level of being, where I could look at this person sitting at a desk, fidgeting, and not identify with it.
Yeah.
And once that happened, it's not that the body went away, which was breathing raggedly and, as I said, chewing its nails and having to use the facilities and etc. But the mind was a little bit clearer, and the emotions did begin to settle down.
Yeah.
So it did remind me that there is such a higher level, and it allowed me to pray for the people in Houston even more.
Right, right, right. And that's also an example where help is always available, sometimes where you least expect it. Help is always available. And the Ray teaches that as well. Thank you. Martin.
I started this homework. I guess my engineer self came out, so I'm going to start with the easy one, with the intellectual center. So we took our daughter to school this weekend, so there was a lot of opportunity for that. So what I worked on was I'm not going to think that this person should do this or say this or anything. I'm just going to let control only what I can control and sort of leave out all these rules that I make when I, there's that word expect to get some sort of result from someone else. So it was, at first it was, I really had to work on it, but I put that mental construct of the cosmos, and that was very nice to just have that just there, because as opposed, it was sort of like really just dangling in front of me. So I could always remember it, but as I began to make fewer and fewer rules, I could feel myself sort of very much opening up to being available for higher influences.
Yes.
So that was the intellectual. So maybe that was sort of an easy one to work on. But then I think, what about this emotional? And maybe I just don't really give much attention to it. Well, as soon as you give attention to it, the opportunity comes up. And, obviously it's going to be close at home. And so, instead of sort of creeping towards that pit of self-pity where the edges crumble and you begin to slide and slide and pull down and go down the ray, well, let's just try to back out of that. Let's just try to actually believe that, the love is real and that, what I'm making up in my mind is not real and is another lie to myself. Well, sure enough, how about that? What do you think happened? Well, I was right.
Yeah.
So I look for more. I hear Jill's story with Turtle, because I was really looking for a physical way to move up and down and I heard her turtle story, and the emotional, what I heard was the emotional took her physical up. That was kind of cool. Got into slime and did all that. So that was my experience. Thank you for the homework.
Thank you. Thank you for breaking it down in centers and your process. Did I see a hand over here? No? Okay. Linda, please.
I felt like the thief broke into the night in my life this week. I'm pursuing something that requires interacting with a bureaucracy. And there has been, it's been about a 2-year process, and about every 6 months it resurfaces, and there's a administrative snafu. And I thought I was past it. And I thought that this coming Tuesday was going to be the final hurdle. And then another administrative snafu arose. And I watched, and I think I had an experience of, what did you say last week about the sustained?
Truth is the sustained consciousness of error.
Yes. I felt like I had a sustained consciousness of error. I immediately, it was like someone flipped a switch, and my body was tense. I felt the adrenaline flowing. My throat was tight. I was angry. I was self-righteous. And I have these thoughts. This one will lay the case. I make the case about why they're wrong and I'm right, and I just lay down systematically the case, but I'm watching this. I'm watching the whole thing go on.
The error building.
Yes. And it was sustained. It was sustained. In fact, I woke up at 3:00 this morning and I'm still building the case. I mean, I woke up building the case, and I woke up with a bile feeling. And I remember the homework, and I had watched the Voyager PBS thing, and that part where Carl Sagan asked him to turn the camera around and look so you see past all the planets, and this ray of sun, the sunbeam in the earth is this little tiny dot. And so I'm sitting there going, this is the tiniest, tiniest imaginable dot on this tiniest, tiniest imaginable dot, and yet it is absolutely, all three centers are just going to the races.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until this morning I was talking to my work partner, and she said, yeah, and it's not I, it's not you. And I hadn't remembered that part of it. Mm-hmm. I think I had not done the full, this is not I. Because it wasn't until she said that, it woke me up even a little bit more. I was watching it, but I was not really saying, this is not I.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a remarkable experience how you can observe it and just watch it go on and feel it, and it's just going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going.
It's a great description of why it's called a program.
Yes, yes.
There's a program running.
There was a program running. It was like the jukebox pushed a certain number, because this has been going on, and it was like that. That's what I felt like. The thief broke in because I wasn't awake. I know about this situation. Mm-hmm. I go to sleep about this situation, and it catches me. It has caught me so far every time.
Brand new every time. Recurrence.
And all these associations. I started noticing I had all of these associations that I have built up over this.
Yeah.
I was grateful for the word, because I could really see how I could just not be observing this with some separation from it.
Right.
And that it would really have me totally. And this way, it did feel like it was an observation, although I was having all the physical.
Right, just because we're the observer is present, and even when there's non-identification and self-remembering, the sensations are there.
Yeah.
And that practice is not to get over the top of it, but to actually to get deeper in it, and yet realize this is a process, a program running. Sometimes we'll be giving insights about the child that was wounded, mm-hmm. and where this program came from. Sometimes that will come, but even if it doesn't, the invitation is still to feel, mm-hmm. to know oneself in the ray, to get that perspective and yet continue to feel.
Yes.
And many times there's no way around not feeling.
Right. And that's what it wanted.
Yeah.
It wanted to have the sustained observation and have it go, oh, and then it was all great. And it
right.
just, and it took a while. I don't know that it's completely moved through.
Right.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah.
And it's so the energy is moving.
Mm-hmm.
And each time it's being drained a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And each time there's more light.
Yes.
Catch it sooner.
Yes.
See it ahead on the horizon.
Yes.
Right. Thank you. Dennis, please.
Earlier in the week, I, as you mentioned, worked with visualization to kind of see how we are on this small part of a small galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
But this afternoon, I had an unusual little gift. Stuck in traffic and thinking, come on, all you people in front, don't miss the next cycle. And then I had the sense of looking around and seeing trees and grass and saying, that's created.
Yes.
And then I looked up and saw clouds and said, that's part of this planet.
Yeah.
As it is created. And I glanced in a different direction and saw part of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked in a different direction and saw a blue sky and thought, this sunlit atmosphere is keeping me from seeing everything else that's beyond here.
Yes.
And I had this sense of being in this place on this planet with all the life on the planet and all the humanity that's in all kinds of conditions of well-being or not. And it was just a delightful sensation of here I sit in this seat, part of all of this, and, just a gift.
Yes, how beautiful. Thank you. My favorite time to feel myself in the ray is when I first wake up. In that space between full consciousness, in that liminal space, to feel myself almost coming down from someplace and landing on the earth again. And saying yes to that landing, but remembering other realms, and then consecrating myself into that day, fully aware that wherever I go, the ray is, and I can forget and it's still there. And that's like creating a future memory in the day. Tracy.
I don't know if I can relate this directly to the homework. It was such a profound experience. Maybe I could get some help with that. I think the idea of no matter where you are, the ray is there, probably is how it relates. I spent a week with my mother and father. They're 83, and they've been married for 63 years. and it's not been very lovely. Mm-hmm. It's been pretty unlovely. And my mother had a very critical health situation. And part of her healing was, after she got out of the hospital, she needed antibiotic infusions every 8 hours around the clock. Mm-hmm. And they decided my dad was going to do this. And I went down there about 2 weeks after she was in the hospital, and the first night I was there, I watched my dad do this. And I saw something in his eyes that I had never seen. I've been around that man for 58 years, and he scares the heck out of me. But I saw a caring that I had never, ever seen. And I got to see it twice a day, because I didn't get up during the middle of the night one, but I got to sit there and watch him care after 63 years in a way he's never... I mean, I'm sure in his mind he was caring and all the unloveliness, but this was just straightforward caring. Mm-hmm. If you can imagine, though, he was so obsessed that nothing get contaminated. The blinds were drawn, the curtains were closed, you know, it was sterile, don't touch, don't talk. You know, when he was doing his process, don't talk to me. And so it was really weird in that way. But it's like, so yeah, all that weirdness was going on, and yet it was the most remarkable observation that I got to have that experience in that moment for 5 days in a row.
Yeah.
What I want to say about that as well is I did not know this was going to be part of that experience, but my father, being 83 and so concerned that he didn't make a mistake or contaminate anything, he didn't drink any alcohol for that whole time he was doing the infusions for her. Mm-hmm. I had, for the first time in my life, two sober parents for 5 days.
Wow.
My mother's been sober for a few years now, but I had a sober dad for the first time in my life. And I would sit in that cave for another 5 days if he was not going to drink.
Yeah. What a miracle.
It was. So, you know, to me it related more to your gospel thing in the beginning of, you know, the Son of Man could come anytime.
Anytime. Yep. Thank you. That's beautiful. Okay. We'll move on to the next commentary. Which is on page 1299. It's called The Work Conception of Man as a Self-Developing Organism. The work teaches that man is an unfinished house. The work also teaches that man is a self-developing organism. If a man develops himself aright, he completes the unfinished house of himself. Let us continue with the imagery of the house in the work. First of all, the work compares man with a house of many rooms and three stories. About this, the work says that man lives in the basement of his house as a rule. This is comparable with a similar idea in the work that man lives in sex, movement, eating, and drinking. Let us again find a similitude concerning the symbol house. The work says that a man has his house in disorder. It compares man with a house in which there is no master and only one telephone, which all the servants use in the name of the master. In this connection, it says that observing eye must establish itself and collect round it all those eyes that wish to work. This stage is called deputy steward. At the same time, the work teaches a great deal about practical work on oneself in regard to separating from negative emotion and to non-identify and self-remember and self-remembering. So another way of saying this about observing I being established and deputy steward is that is a movement of uniting our will, of moving the multitude of wills into a single will, to decrease the fragmentation. And also, it's as we're, our wills are being united, it is gathering our intention, another word for will, and our attention. So that's another way of hearing observing I and deputy steward, the development of those capacities. The whole conception of esotericism, its whole meaning, is concerning this development of a new man in oneself. This experiment has been going on as far back as known history. You must remember that known history goes back only a few thousand years and is incommensurable with unknown history. Yet in known history, we meet with traces of esotericism, which is always speaking about one thing, the creation of a new man. If we go back beyond known history, we find the existence of complete mythologies, rituals, ceremonies, which all contain the same idea. Now I want to ask you all, what do you think this development that esotericism is always talking about means? I will answer you. It means overcoming the violent man, the man of violence in you. One might call this, in terms of another modern teaching, overcoming the prehistoric man who is covered in an animal skin. As you must all know by now, negative emotions can easily lead to violence. So you will understand that this creation of another person in himself, which is possible from the definition of man as a self-developing organism, has a great deal to do with separating oneself from all the infinite forms of negative emotion, which will eventually always lead down to violence. If we could really overcome violence in all its manifestations, which means at the same time overcoming all forms of negative emotions, out of this violent man covered with skins and bearing a club, there will arise a different person who can ascend towards the conscious circle of humanity. But if anyone says, what are we working for? What is the idea of the work? We can say that the supreme idea of the work and of all esoteric teaching in the past has been this new being, capital B, that can arise out of our old being, our former being. To me, it seems interesting to feel that one is connected with this supreme idea of the evolution of man by conscious development. It gives an entirely new meaning to one's existence. Yet at the same time, I have said nothing new to you, because the teaching about man being an incomplete house and yet at the same time being a self-developing organism gives you this idea that I am making a little more plain to your consciousness. None of you need be lost in life. None of you need be overshadowed by life if you hold this central idea in your mind, remember it, and continue to work on yourself. Just skipping ahead a bit. Now, this vision of life has great force behind it. People, as you know, all tend to complain about their lives. They all think that external circumstances should be much better, and so on. But the work does not teach this. It says that the circumstances in which you were born are the best for you to work upon. The particular form of second force, in other words, the force of resistance to your wishes, is appropriate to you. And if you will work on it, once you have received some understanding of the work, it will give you some results. It is no good your saying, if only I had been born in better circumstances with more money. Everyone, whether rich or poor, is placed where he or she should be able to begin to develop themselves. So many people say, if I had only met this work earlier. They are quite wrong. If you receive this work into your hands and especially into your hearts, then you will find that the circumstances in which you were born are the very things that give you force, if you work upon them and against them. As you know, the work says we have to work against life. Perhaps some of you have seen what this means, and others perhaps still identify with life and life circumstances, and therefore do not see what is meant here. So many people say, if only. But what is the use of saying, if only, once you begin to understand that you were born a self-developing organism, and that you cannot develop except by conscious efforts against your life circumstances, or we might say conscious efforts with our life circumstances, with what we're given. Now, if we look at what he is saying here, it's very similar if you've watched the Spiritual Journey series with Thomas Keating, and he talks about the development of consciousness, of moving from the aerobic and typhonic, in other words, our animal. One moment, please. And moving up the levels of consciousness, even beyond what is called rational consciousness, because there's so much more than even rational consciousness. So we're called to evolve our animal nature for ourselves, for others, for all. Are you going to come and change it, or okay? stay awake. Okay, thank you. What I also hear about this is we're called to be co-creators. And it had me think of, when I read through this whole thing, I kept thinking about what Ilya Delio taught us earlier this year in all of her writings. So I brought something and I ask you to just listen to it through the ears of the work. This is her way of speaking of man as a self-developing organism. And this was something she wrote in a blog that she publishes as part of a subscription series. This was published August 17th. Pierre Teilhard de Chardin struggled to redefine Christianity as a religion of evolution. Despite the long history of the universe, evolution continues in a direction of increasing complexity, suggesting a force in nature that resists entropy and empowers newness. He named this principle of wholeness in nature as Omega, and identified Omega with God. God is not found through opposition to matter, antimatter, or independent of matter, extra matter, but through matter, transmatter. We take hold of God in the finite. He is sensed as rising or emerging from the depths, born not in the heart of matter, but as the heart of matter. Teilhard proposed that union with God must be effected by passing through and emerging from matter. While God is in the world and the world is in God, God is more than the world. God is the absolute whole of unlimited possibilities. Hence, God is the world's future. Teilhard realized that the heart of matter is consciousness, which expresses itself in love energy. God is entangled with nature in a way that divine consciousness seeks to raise unconscious matter to new levels of consciousness and thus new levels of love. Our task is to wake up to the truth of our reality. And by truth, Teilhard means that which glues life together and renders it fecund. This waking up requires interiority and centeredness. Hence, the first step towards justice is focusing the mind on higher ordered levels of love. Life in evolution requires living inward and moving outward. That is, living from an inner unified space of conscious awareness and presence, whereby we see the divine light shining through every aspect of our world, even the ugly parts, because nothing is outside the embrace of God's love. Life in evolution means that we are moving. We are becoming something new. Not just individually, but collectively. Because we are unfinished. And God is doing new things. The human being must be seen as an element destined to complete herself cosmically, in a higher consciousness in process of formation. What constitutes the good is everything that brings growth of consciousness to the world. What is best is what assures the highest development of consciousness and thus the spiritual growth of the earth. A new morality of growth is one that will foster and catalyze evolutionary change, a growth into a new formation of being, a deepening of what we are together, in which care for another humanizes us. We are responsible for the future. Integral to this emerging future is the development of personhood and self-actualization. We can only build the world together if we are becoming persons together. It's beautiful. It so illustrates for me the call of what it means to be human, to be fully human. As Jill was asking, why are we here? That's why. Can we imagine a world without violence, human beings without violence? Talk about a different level of consciousness in the micro and the macro. I had this inner taste this week of a moment of violence in myself with another. Really a relatively small thing on the scale of things, but the inner taste just was not good. And in reflecting on that, I saw that there was no external consideration of this person. There was acting out of impatience and anger rather than spaciousness, breath, understanding. And because of what I know of the work and how interconnected we are, I know that that little bit of energy keeps moving and gets passed along. So I do feel responsible. I do feel the urgency to be vigilant. And I love the beauty of this call. To me, I think Nickel would be applauding. It's exactly what he was speaking of. So what did you hear? What touched you? Please, Catherine.
What I heard and what I'm feeling is that the thief that comes in the night to stay awake for, my work partner called me on this morning because I woke up sort of these mildly violent eyes just kind of sitting there waiting to peck at something. And I did identify them at least as that. As I'm coming back into the world. But what she said to me was, and this is, I think, the thief, is to expect second force, to stay awake, that second force is going to come. And that's the future memory, it seems, to not let violence sneak in and keep them slightly pass itself on all day, as you were saying.
Right.
So to calculate second force, to stay awake for that, so that it always takes me by surprise. I just couldn't get over it when she said it was like, ching, there it was again. It just snuck in.
Right.
You know? So to stay awake, I have a deep wish to calculate second force.
And to realize we need second force for our transformation, that it has the energy we need, the friction we need to awaken. That in it contains all the possibility of choosing differently, of being differently, of seeing differently. It's actually, as Cynthia would say, a very creative process. But so often it feels against us.
The evolution.
That's right. It's the evolution in process. Right. Thank you. Mark, please.
Mm-hmm. It's about violence. My work partner and I were working on this the other day, and our intention or aim was to locate subtle forms mm-hmm. of violence. And when you read the part about negative states or kind of leading to violence, I had a question about that. That mm-hmm. one of my observations was resentment. Mm-hmm. And to me, it appeared as a form of violence. But what's the difference between that, or does it matter about negative states versus these very subtle forms?
I think they're the same. I think negative states are, so often when we talk about violence in the world, in the normal course of conversation, it's it has to do with physical violence or verbal violence or war or at that scale. But there's no responsibility for the small interpersonal or even inner. There's no responsibility even for violent thoughts. They may never come into words, but definitely poison ourselves. And unchecked will poison relationships and circumstances.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. I came across today another definition of violence, which I thought was even true for many of us who are busy people. And this comes from Merton. To allow oneself to be carried away by a multitude of conflicting concerns, to surrender to too many demands, to commit oneself to too many projects, to want to help everyone and everything is to succumb to violence. More than that, it is cooperation in violence. The frenzy of the activist neutralizes his work of peace. It destroys his own inner capacity for peace. It destroys the fruitfulness of his own work, because it kills the root of inner wisdom which makes work fruitful. But I could feel into that in myself when I become busy and fragmented. That's a form of violence, of not making space, forgetting my real aim, becoming identified with roles, to-do lists. And what I see is when that kind of violence comes to self, it spreads into my family. Or a frustrated email in response to a colleague. Other comments? Yes, Abby.
The very end of what Ilya had written, that we have to be working to become persons together.
Mm-hmm.
It really stood out to me and kind of lifted up a mirror for me to see how in my life I've separated myself mm-hmm. From other people, how easy it is for me to point the finger at, like, they need to be doing more work. Mm-hmm. They need to fix that. and how quickly that happens, like as a defense, to whether the intention of that eye is to avoid seeing what's going on in here, and just very plainly just missing every opportunity to work in that sense, and and seeing how violent that really is, how pulling myself out of those situations to judge and to point fingers, it is an act of violence, it's an act of separation, it's an act of forgetting what and where I am. And so that just really brought up a lot for me in that.
Thank you. Good scene. Yes, Tamara.
I'm really glad you read that quote from Merton, because I don't think I've seen violence that way. This week, I just sat down and I wrote out 7 areas that I know I'm called to focus on and let go of a lot of other things that have left me distracted and fragmented. And just now, the thing is, there are eyes that don't want to show up 100% for those things. And I could see it's almost a defense mechanism to try and take on too much instead of just really give myself to what I know in my heart I'm called to. But the power in it, and then I watch the inner struggle with eyes being willing to be present for these things. And I just thought it was really interesting.
Yeah. Trust. Who's really doing it? Anything else? Lori.
What I loved about all three of those readings is that sense that everything that is showing up right now is the perfect thing for my transformation. That it's all a gift. I often want to separate and try to figure out what's right and what's wrong and what's good and what's bad, and that's just lower on the scale. That's in duality. And to see it all as the very next thing is the very right thing, is the very true thing, is so freeing.
Yes.
There's only one thing I have to do, and that's take the next breath. Sit here right now, then stand up. You know, it's so much more simple than
than resisting it all and having a story about it and wanting to rearrange it. Right. And she, Ilya, said at the end that the good, quote, is what serves our awakening of consciousness. Well, many of us can testify that the most difficult things have served our awakening. So that becomes the good. It is in service. Because through these tools, principles, we're able to see it in a completely different way. Maybe not at the time, but we certainly can affirm later that it was for the good. Thank you. Lauren, please.
Lately, I've been swirling around in my intellectual center, I suppose one would say. And I have some things that are very important to me. I'm not sure whether they're, you know, what the number is, but there are two or three things that are really important to me. And I've spent a lot of time reading amazing people, from Wittgenstein to Frederick Buechner and so on. I go into these, I'm sitting in the middle of the ray every morning. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, I went out the other day, I guess it was yesterday or the day before, and I ended up, well, I'm not quite sure whether a pickup truck ran me down or whether I was in a fog or whatever, but anyway, I had an altercation on my bicycle with a pickup truck, and it ended up, my bicycle doesn't work anymore. And it felt like to me, as I've been, and then I tried to do my practice at one point, I think that afternoon, and I was so broken up because of what had happened to me, to the blood that I had been cleaning up and stuff. I had surface wounds and I'm fine. But all of a sudden I was in my, I was stopped in my moving center. And I was not able to recontact all these blissful things that I had been enjoying in the day. And it occurred to me that if I allowed it, that this fall brought me up short and made me have to choose to really act in some of the blissful things that I was just kind of letting. I was really, I believe, deeply moved and touched. And the thing that I realized earlier was what brought me back to at least a kind of wincing resolution to deal with some of the things that I am struggling with was, involuntarily, I began naming some of the amazing people that had been mentors and had loved me through my life, so that I couldn't. I was just in pain and anger and whatever. And then all of a sudden, these names came to me as I was trying to do my practice, and they got me back to, I think, a more real ray than I was in. I felt very connected in my heart to so many of the people that had given me so much.
Self-remembering, right, right. Thank you. So this week, in service to our evolution, let us work against violence. Let us work against violence. In service to our evolution, let us work against violence in ourselves. And I think that Catherine's reminder to us, it helps to calculate second force. And even what you started with tonight, Martin, that expectations can lead to violence. if they are really crystallized. Yes.
Can you clarify briefly what you mean by calculate second force?
Life is not easy. It doesn't go my way. There will be difficulty. There will be ways in which people and life and circumstances and time work against what I want or what I think should happen. Does that help? But again, that's the invitation. So the other way of saying second force is you're invited to breathe and let go and see what happens. You're invited to self-remember. You're invited to be delighted in the ray. So coming back in this moment, we made a future memory of our week, of our aim. We come again and again to this moment in gratitude, knowing that God's love has always met and will always meet all our needs. And in knowing this, we give freely and receive joyfully. Let's pray this together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. Amen. Awake now to the absolute love of God, which is always calling us forth and forward. We bless these tithes and offerings with the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on this planet, over the lie that we are separate and are useless acting out from fear. In Christ we pray. Amen. And we ask, protect us, Lord, as we stay awake, and watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and asleep rest in his peace. And may God grant us a quiet night and a peaceful death. Amen.